Recording started.
Hi everybody. Okay, this is Vance Stevens in Abu Dhabi, and it's 1400 GMT. We're at our weekly Learning Together event, and our speaker hasn't appeared yet, and it's about a quarter after the hour, so we decided to just make an informal session with the people here. We have with us a few people who we've met week after week, and let's see, there's Ali Boumoussa. I was just in Marrakesh, and he was participating in a conference presentation I gave there, and ironically, he's from Morocco, but he's in Canada, I think from Montreal. Is that right, Ali?
That's right. Well, that's right.
Yeah, so Ali has been with us, I think, since 2002. He's one of the original webheads. Maybe I can find something with his picture on it and put that in a web tour. But since he's been with us all that time, and he has, you know, sort of stayed with us, he keeps coming back, and it'd be kind of interesting to know more about him and you know, how webheads appeals to him, and it must be obviously someone who's in a similar mindset to the other people here. And we also have in the chat, we have Maisie. Hi, Maisie. You want to say who you are for the recording?
Okay, so can I just, my name is Ali Boumoussa, and I'm originally from Morocco, and I have been teaching for a long while now, both in Morocco and here in Canada, in Montreal. I have been a webhead for a long time, but I mean more visiting and not really a regular addict, but I have learned a lot, I mean, in my own way. So I have learned a lot in the sense that I have used, back in Morocco, I mean, the conditions were not always appropriate for the putting what I was learning into practice. So it was a bit of just a kind of bricolage, I mean, learning the coming to grips with the internet and trying to keep abreast of what was going on, and wishing that one day you might put something into practice. Possibly, I mean, right now I have more conditions, more at least in terms of availability of labs, more of, I mean, the readiness on the part of the institutions to help with the technology, so I feel more ready to apply what I'm learning. But it has always been a great experience, great contacts with technology or without. I also wish I could follow up with the TESOL conventions after the. I also had this great experience with more participating on EVO online, and later on moderating with Dave a couple of sessions, I think, on tips and tricks, and that was it. So I'm still here, just following the trend.
Yeah, there's a little lag for my putting in the microphone. I just put something in the text chat, in the web tour, that link right there. And if you scroll down on that link, you find pictures of people in our original webheads group. And I'm looking for your picture. picture there. Ali, can you find it? I'm having to scroll in a funny way. So maybe if you can identify first of all, tell us if you're there. You see your link. And then another, let's see, you were co-moderating with Dave. And so I suppose that's one reason you were interested in coming here to see what he had to say.
Well, actually, I mean, before co-moderating with Dave on EVO Online, I spent some time with him on study.com. I'm sure you're familiar with his website, his volunteer website, where he has a bunch of teachers. There were a bunch of us teaching on a weekly basis. We had slots. And teachers from all around the world would just join us for either systematic teaching or just chats. And I think the website is still there. The study.com is still live and kicking. And so that's how I got to know David. And later on, because I was moving from Morocco to Canada, I just stopped volunteering on study.com, and then we co-moderated the tips and tricks. Yeah, but I think it's as you said. I mean, just to say hello to David again and to pay him credit for all his way of doing things. I mean, his all the tips, all the tricks, all the time and the energy he devotes, he has been devoting to his students and teachers all over the world. I honestly can't find my photo here. I remember I used to have a photo somewhere. I also had an office on Taptin. I think I still have that. And it's like one of those deserted Roman cities. I rarely go there just to see if it's still there or not. But I can't find my photo. I don't know how to go about that.
I just put another link up. Maybe you were in the really original Webheads group. See, is your photo in this set here? And while you're looking for it, let me just put the link in the text chat. This is the Webheads in Action, because I thought we had your photo, and well, maybe you're in this one. This is the original student Webheads from really a long time ago. Oops, I just clicked and it shot off the screen a little bit. Anyway, let's see, well, we have something in common. I didn't realize that you were in study.com, because that's how Webheads really got started. Maisie passed a big test earlier. She remembered that David Winant has come online. I've got something that says he's available for jokes. Let me see if I can raise him here. Oh, I got a message from Dave. Hang on a second. Well, okay. Ali, did you find your picture? Let me handle that while I'm... you can pass a little bit of time here while I answer his message.
Well, I don't really worry about the photo. I mean, just... It's okay if we can get David online. Okay, so if any of you would like to ask a question, concerning whatever my experience on with the Webheads or online or my teaching, please go ahead.
Yeah, don't forget we have to turn off your mic with the. It's just the one in action here. Yeah, actually, that's what I was trying to find out from you. Going back to the old Webheads group, if your picture is there, it would indicate that you've been around for much longer than 2001. That is, that we've known each other for all that time. And so I'm curious. And having just been to Morocco and sort of seeing what, you know, seeing what the schools are like, you know, the teachers are like there, I should say. I just noticed that there's quite an interest now. It seems like all over the Arab world, there's a greater interest in technology, especially in social media technology, especially due to the Arab Spring. Are you aware of that? At least that's what they told me in Morocco. And then we also got an indication of that. Hana Khamis just wrote a book, and she posted the link to Webheads about the same phenomenon happening in Egypt. That when I was there in 2004, technology was kind of okay. You know, people were using it, but you know, not that excitedly. But now it's. Do you think the Arab Spring is going to change the technology and education landscape in throughout the Arab world?
Well, I think the infrastructure leaves a lot to be desired. But the great thing about the ICT in Morocco is that there's a core group. I'm sure you have met people from the Moroccan Association of Teachers of English, and they are extraordinarily active and dynamic. So if you look at their calendar, there's almost an activity going on somewhere in Morocco every day, every week. With the contribution of the Moroccan Association of Teachers, they are so active, and of course, you have the British Council and the American Cultural Centers who are always helping with the different projects, different ideas. So it's not so much. I don't think it's the Arab Spring has very little perhaps to do with that. It's more a long battle that teachers, the grassroots teachers. I'm talking people who were working. In the mountains, in villages, and they just. Save a few dollars every term just to get a computer and start breaking the machine but the Ministry of Education was just following, so the credit should go essentially to the people, the grassroots teachers who were behind all the activities in the Moroccan Association of Teachers of English. I think that's how I see it.
Yeah, I noticed Dave has joined us, but I do have another question. And Dave, we just decided to have a chat with Ali, who was your co-moderator in one of your sessions. And Ali's got a bit of an echo, so we've just turned it to one microphone at a time. But anyway, yeah, my question for Ali is, what are you doing there in Montreal? I guess when we met you were in Morocco, I think, so you've gone there in the meantime, so I'm just curious about what you do and what your research is and that sort of thing, your interests there in Morocco, in Montreal.
Right now in Montreal I'm still in ESL, basically teaching at the CJEPS, and the CJEPS are the Collège d'enseignement général et professionnel. They are very specific institutions to Quebec. They don't exist anywhere else in Canada, apart from in the world for that matter. So they are a very specific institution to Quebec, and they are considered as higher ed institutions. they are like a bridge between the university, the job market, and the post and the secondary school education. So all students who leave, who finish their secondary school education, have to go through the CJEPs. So they could take either a 2-year or 3-year program, and that would prepare them directly for the job market if they take a technical course, or for a pre-university or in a pre-university direction. So that would be 3 years, and then after that they would go to university. So basically it's ESL. Sometimes it gets more ESP, but still it's English with some ICT now more embedded in my practice.
Okay, and where do you work in Montreal?
It's a CJEP, Hantzik. Hantzik, college, Hantzik is one of the biggest and one of the oldest in Montreal. It has a variety of programs, and basically most of the programs offered by the Ministry of Education can be found at Hantzik, and it has a huge population every year growing, and the English department is also one of the biggest departments among in the CJEP network.
Okay, well, maybe you could write, can you write the name of that institution, that university there in the text chat? So we'll learn a little bit more about it later. Well, David Wynette has arrived, and we actually have a topic for tonight, so I suppose we'll go over to that since he's scheduled to present. And this is the Learning Together event. I'll put a link in the text chat here, and so we can all see it. Not the text chat, sorry, the web tour. And well, it will go in the text chat. There's the link to what we're doing this evening. If you scroll down in that link, you'll see what David is presenting on. I put it in the text chat, but that link actually isn't going to be good for very long, but you can always find the index. I'll show you the index of our sites. This is the index here. Okay, so all our sites are indexed, so later on you'll be able to find the link to David's presentation there. So, David, how are you doing? It's really early where you are. It's just 6:30 in the morning.
Hi, can you hear me? Oh yeah, it looks like it's working. Yeah. Well, I'm very sorry. I have to apologize. I'm just really forgetful about any sort of one-time event. I always forget my dental appointments and things like that. And this is, anyway, I apologize for being late, but I'm glad to see everybody here. And I approached Vance a while back about talking on the topic of audio comments for students who've sent audio files to the teacher. I was interested to see that some people at UC Davis had worked out a system using Audacity, which I think you guys are familiar with, yes?
Yeah, we have just one mic at a time because not everybody here has a headset, or perhaps the headset's not working. We're not sure. We're getting some echo if we don't have just one mic at a time. So you'll have to turn you have to click on the audio control F2 and switch off your mic. There is a polling feature here. Let's see. It would probably be under tools and tools polling. Yes, there is. Okay. You're asking in the text chat if you need to explain the workings of Audacity. I guess I could go for an explanation. Audacity is a free download, which it works brilliantly. It's open source, done by possibly SourceForge, or SourceForge, that's where you get the, where you get it. In any event, it's a brilliant software that looks like a console where you, you hit a play button and you can play things, or you can hit the record button and you can record things, and you can adjust the mics and you can adjust your sound card. Yes, there we are, from SourceForge.net. And the only trick with Audacity is if you want to work with MP3, you have to get the LAME file, which if you, that's a little bit advanced, but other than that, that's the only thing that's really unusual about Audacity. It works just like a tape player, and it's free, and it works really well, and of course you can edit using it. And so, Dave, maybe you can give us a little background on how you came on this topic, because it appears there's some reason that you had to do what you're going to tell us about. So go ahead and tell us about that. Where are you coming from on this?
Right. Good point. Okay. Well, it started out in my class. I'm teaching a listening speaking class at Cal State, California, and I asked my students to send me some audio files. Back in the day, we used to have them hand in cassettes, which was even more unwieldy. But I found a site called Vocaloo.com. I'm typing it in here. That allows students to make a recording and send it with a minimum of a fuss and bother. They just go to that site, click a button and start talking, and then enter an email address. In this case, would be the teacher's email address, and then I get a link and I can listen to the, what they recorded. It's very, very convenient and easy for them. There it is, Vocaloo. See, look how easy it is. Click to record, and you're off to the races. So it's really, really nice, but. What I found, because it's a listening speaking class and because I want the students to work on their pronunciation, I wanted, instead of typing comments on what they had submitted, I wanted to make audio comments on what they had submitted. So that's where I was coming from. I wanted to be able to correct their pronunciation of certain words, for example, or grammar corrections or suggestions for idioms, that type of thing. I looked around the web to see if there was any way to insert comments into somebody else's recording. And I chanced upon a method from UC Davis, which consisted of using Audacity, and the teacher would listen to what the student said and then record his own comment and then cut and paste his comment into the student's original recording. Okay, VoiceThread, Mike, that's something I haven't thought of to use for inserting comments. Probably that may be a better method than the one I'm explaining to you today. So I don't know. What I was looking for is something that would insert the comment immediately after the error, such that the student's talking, makes a mistake, and immediately when he plays back the corrected version from the teacher, he hears himself, student hears himself And then the teacher, he hears the teacher correcting his mistake immediately. Yeah, fiddly, right, exactly. Fiddly is what it's all about. You have to be prepared to fiddle a bit. Right. So the student says, I is from, you know, France, and immediately hears the teacher saying, I am from France. So you have immediate feedback. Okay, so UC Davis had a method, but it involved recording the, yes, go for it, comprehension check.
Okay, just to follow what you're doing, with the UC Davis, obviously the teacher would play, he'd have to upload the Vocaroo recording into Audacity. He's got that. Or just, I suppose he's got an Audacity recording, yes, and then he would record in a separate Audacity the feedback, and then go back and find those bits of feedback and insert them in the appropriate place in the file, which I can imagine you got to be kind of organized in your, even if you're working with sound files, it's all one big mass until you start teasing it out. Yes, that's right. Download from Vocaroo, insert into Audacity, and then the feedback is played in a separate Audacity window, which you, the teacher then copies, pastes, and puts into the place where he wants it to go. Is that correct?
So that's exactly right, Vincent. Thank you. Well, what I was finding is that the copy-paste routine was extremely time-consuming, especially if you have 15 or 20 students in the class. It's not really workable. It would be fine for, you know, 1-2T. So I was trying to think of a way to insert the comments without interrupting the student, without interrupting the student's recording significantly. And so this is the method that I happened upon. Are you still with me? It's a little technical. You have to be willing to fiddle a bit. Yes, Maisie, you can definitely record directly into Audacity. And can, Vance, can you go back to my notes? And I can explain what you can do with Audacity that makes it easy to do this this trick. Thank you very much. All right, if you'll scroll down to where it says technique. And look at number one, it says recording, that is inserting comments into the student's file that you've received from the student. So you load the file from the student. Yeah, exactly, Ali. The follow-up can be a big challenge. Yeah, it's very cumbersome to enter audio comments, but with this method, it's a lot less cumbersome. That's basically what this talk is about. You load the file, which is not difficult, into Audacity. It's a quick download and a quick insert of the file into Audacity. I'm reading your comment, Maisie. If I download Audacity in school, then each student can record themselves and the others can comment. Let me think about that. Yes, certainly. Yeah, anybody can comment. Although the students would perhaps need to be trained on, just as we're doing today, on how to make comments in the most efficient way. Yeah. My approach is for students who are sending me a file, then I'm commenting, sending the file back to them now with my added comments, and they can actually respond to my comments and send it back to me again with this method. if they want to. Unlikely to happen, but it could happen. Okay, so going to my outline. So first you load the student's file into Audacity. And point two, the small Roman numerals. This is the key point here. You've got to go to Preferences, Recording, Playthrough, and set it to Overdub. What does that mean? That means, and this is the really, really cool thing about Audacity, is that you can be listening to some recording and recording yourself at the same time. It's really nice for music, by the way. So you might load a song and you want to sing along with it or play along with it, no problem. However, you do have to set the preferences to overdub. All right, we got that part. Trying to catch up here with the, oh, I see here's some comments. This thing doesn't scroll down by itself, huh? I missed about six comments here. Just a minute, I'm going to try to catch up.
Let me grab the mic while you're doing that. You can take that window and drag it if you like. You can drag it bigger. You can drag it around as long as you leave it on the Learning Time screen. Looks like you can maximize it and you can make it really big. Yeah, okay. So then, oh, I can ask my question. Is Overdub open a separate channel so that you've got a separate track? And a separate track is really what I meant. Is it open a separate track and record there? You still with us there, David?
Yeah, not only can you, it definitely opens a separate track for the overdubbing. And the nice thing is that you can mute either track or any number of tracks, so you can hear just one track. If the student says, listen, I already know what my mistakes are, I just want to hear the teacher's comments, they can do that. Or if another student wants to comment on the first student's recording, they can mute out the teacher's comments and just hear what the first student recorded. So it's really a nice feature. Okay, so we're all up to speed on as far as number Roman numeral, small Roman numeral 2, right? Okay, so you're listening now to what the student said. And when you hear a mistake, you can make a comment on it. I'm talking about fairly quick corrections, not long explanations. That would be a whole different thing. And then you can save the whole thing. And rather than using save, you use under file, under the file button, you use export multiple. That's another trick. Right, Maisie, I agree with you. It's too complicated for my students to. It's mostly for the teacher to send the corrections back to the student. All they'll have to do is play it. You can export it as an MP3 and it's all ready. So anyway, so this is the other trick. You have to use export multiple. Instead of merging a file, it'll create several files that you can gather together. So this is what the students have to do. If we move to part two here, the student needs to have Audacity. They have to load the file which they would have received, say, as an email attachment from you. And they're also loading the comment file from the teacher. It can all be loaded according to a method I'll explain under drawbacks. Maybe we should go there now. Let's go down to drawbacks. If you look at point two, it says teacher must save using export multiple, as I said before, and then the student has to use import to get the second teacher file into the same instance of Audacity as the student file. Otherwise, this teacher file will load into a different instance of Audacity, which is not useful. So these are all things that the students would have to be trained to do. And you'd have to, basically this is something you'd want to be using all throughout the semester. Otherwise, it's not worth teaching the students this for, you know, just one homework assignment. So the student loads the file along with the teacher's comments and listens while watching the comment track. You can see the tracks are visible as, you know, squiggly lines. So when you see a comment is coming up, you mute the student's voice track. The student mutes his own voice track and listens to the comment. Or you can play them together, which, believe it or not, works pretty well if you do the following. You go down here to where it says additional trick. Instead of doing the mute trick whereby the student would mute his own voice in order to hear the teacher's correction better. Oh, you already read that, Maisie. Yeah. This really works. Every time a student hesitates, which is quite a lot, there's a little gap. So if you change the tempo so that the playback tempo, it plays back more slowly, but the voice sounds exactly the same. It doesn't make the voice sound slurry like that. You know, it just slows everything down. You know? Then, remember, you're watching the little needle go by. You can see where the spaces are coming up, where the empty silence spaces are coming up. You're going to have time to insert your comment right there, right where the student is taking a breath or something. And that obviates the need, any need to, for the student to keep pressing the mute button on and off. So basically that is the method. I know it sounds pretty complicated, but it's one of those things where if you do it a couple of times, it's not difficult. And I think I made a recording here. I haven't seen this for a long time, so I gotta tell you, I'm not sure. But if you go up here and press these links at swfcabin.com, which I think I just did. I don't know if it's going to open for you. Nothing open in there. You can open a new window.
We're having a little trouble getting those sound files down. SWF Cabin is, sounds like another neat site to know about, but it doesn't deliver the files very well. Are you having trouble with it yourself, or maybe you've got really good bandwidth there in California? I switched on an extra mic, by the way. So if you talk to us, Ali, you have to turn off your mic while you're talking. I'm sorry, when you're not talking. Yeah, go ahead, David.
I was saying I didn't, you know, I forgot about this. So I didn't have a chance to check the links, but if you like, I can make sure that things are working and then send the links to you, Vance, maybe for posting, so people can check the result at some point. Oh, you were able to do it, Ellie? Oh, great. Maybe opening in a separate browser would work. Let's see.
Maybe. We can try.
An error message.
Or if you find a different way to do it, that's fine too.
Yeah.
The server is overloaded.
And remember, there was some problem.
Oh well, that's pretty stuff, you know. The glass is always a little bit empty. But we can use the free materials anyway. So this did seem really complicated in the email you sent, but your explanation helps it a lot. So it makes it sound... As someone who uses Audacity, I can visualize most of what David is talking about. So once you're onto Audacity, I think you would see it. One part I'm having a little trouble in visualizing anyway is how the students use the mute. I suppose if you're a student and you're aware of that feature, then it sounds like it's really easy for your students to do, right, David?
Yes.
David's saying in the text chat that he would, he said you would, when you're typing your summary, it comes out as key presses, because click, 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 click on the recording, so, good, but there are two mics open, we can talk together.
Okay.
I opened a second mic, because I was trying to put some sound in where there were some gaps. With two of us with headsets, it's not a problem. So, yeah, okay, go ahead. You can tell us what you just put in the comments.
So, basically, I'm just summarizing the whole thing. As somebody pointed out at the beginning, there isn't any really super easy way to insert audio comments, unfortunately. And secondly, the way that I came up with is the easiest way that I have been able to figure out or find on the web to insert comments. So. Not easy, but this is the easiest one I've found. There's a payoff, though, in that the students do hear your voice and get immediate correction.
Yeah, well, there's lots of payoffs. They also learn about Audacity. It's a free tool. It's an amazing tool. And they get to download it and understand how it works.
Good point.
They get to learn some of its features. I didn't really know about the mute feature. I didn't know about the overdub feature. I didn't know that it could change tempo, which is that's something that I think I used to try to find software that would do that, because that you can slow down or speed up speech, so that and not change its chipmunk quality, chipmunkiness. So, but that's really good. That's excellent, because one problem with students' listening comprehension. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're able to slow down, I mean, you could record anything that the students were having trouble understanding, or the students could do it for that matter. They can record things they're having trouble understanding, because now they've got Audacity, and they can record. So if you're giving something to listen to, it's too fast, they can slow it down, you know, and get to where they can understand it a lot better. So that's going to be a neat idea. That's cool.
Yeah.
Talk loose.
Sorry. I'm so used to typing.
A lot of clatter back there.
Oh, right. I'm sorry, I forgot again. Sorry. Okay, anyway, sorry.
No worries.
Okay, I got it now. Yeah, I was just saying that...
No worries.
Yes, absolutely. Students, the teacher could download any audio file or create an audio file and slow it down without making the sound muddled. for murky or muddy. And yeah, and you can also add text, which can be turned on or off also for subtitles. It doesn't have to be music. It could be anything. You want the students to be able to read along while they're listening. I personally find that to be very useful with my Spanish learning.
How do you
see what
you
I
mean,
heard?
You mean you add text to an Audacity file, so as it's playing, it
yes.
gives you text as well?
Mm-hmm. Right. Not bad, huh? Yeah. It's
wow.
I use the label track.
No.
Label.
I'm
label
curious about
track.
This one. Label track. Uh-huh.
And then you can insert
okay,
text
I'm so excited
anywhere you
about
want.
This. I'm opening
play.
Audacity now.
Great.
Okay. I've just opened Audacity. Now, where is label track? Oh, quit working.
Oh, it's, I'm not sure. Let's see.
Me.
Let me open Audacity. Yeah. I think it's, under tracks, and then you've got add label, add selection. You
okay,
see that?
Where is that again? Because I had to make a recording.
You have on the menu
not
you
yet.
Have tracks.
Okay.
You see tracks?
Tracks. On the
yeah,
menu.
It goes file,
yes,
edit,
tracks.
View, transport,
track.
Tracks. Then go down
oh.
to add label. No,
file.
It's file,
file,
edit, view, transport, tracks, in my version, anyway.
File, edit, view. Oh, I've got project, generate, effect, analyze, help. Maybe I've got an old version. So
oh,
what version do
you probably
have?
I am
one,
using...
Two,
yeah, okay. I'm glad we got to that. You want... Oh, you're pointing 1.26? I recommend using 1.3.13
uh-huh.
beta. Here, I'll
okay, all right, cool. Hold on. Yeah, hey, well, I'm learning a lot, so...
That's cool.
I really appreciate this.
Yeah, I'm glad. That's the
yeah,
the
okay.
beta is much
okay,
better.
I'll grab the, mm-hmm. the new beta.
It's I don't know why. It's actually
mm-hmm.
not new. It's been around for about 5 years. I think people stopped developing Audacity, but it does have the most stuff.
Okay. Yeah, well, let's see. Well, we've opened two mics. Let me turn off mine and ask if anybody else wants to ask David a question. And if so, Ali has a mic, and so does Maisie.
Well, I noticed that Ali mentioned learner training, so maybe you want to... expand on that a little bit, Ali. Maybe he went for coffee. But what should I say again, Maisie? Oh, okay. Maisie wants me to go through the steps again. Absolutely. Do you have the beta version, Maisie? And specifically... Yes, okay. All right. So if you look at the top under Edit, you see the menu? And at the bottom of Edit, it says Preferences. And you open Preferences and click Recording. And the top box you'll see says Playthrough. And you have an option to click Overdub. That's what you want to do, click Overdub. Once you've clicked it, you never have to click it again. It'll always be on Overdub. All good? All right. Okay, so that's going to allow you to overdub, and then if you you might want to make a little recording right now so I can show you how the mute works. So if you click the red button and just count to 10 or something, you will get a file.
What red button?
Okay, so maybe your mic is open, and now Ali, sorry, we've got me, I'm talking. I'm going to, I just let you know what I did. You can talk to David Macy if you want to. You can talk to him through the microphone. It makes a much nicer recording. And you can ask him about the red button and all that. And meanwhile, Ali, you can come on as well, but please only activate your mic when you're ready to talk.
Oh, okay. I just want to go back to the issue of learner training that David mentioned. But I think one of the biggest problems here is how much follow-up can you afford? And students generally come with different levels of ability and the degrees of technologies and skills. So you get those who are very quick at it. Maybe just show them the options, and they would get started. But there are those who would always be fighting with where's the website, where's the link, how do I do this and do that. And it's I was just thinking of how to use peer feedback and with Audacity. Although I haven't had much practice with Audacity, my only experience is just asking students to record themselves, listen back, maybe do some kind of remedial work in group or in class, or if it's a one-on-one session, then it's much easier. But no dubbing, no labeling, nothing of the options that David has been telling us. So I think the Audacity is there, but we have to come to grips with the all the possible options that it offers as teachers, and then the second level is we have to worry about learning training. How do we move transfer these skills to our learners?
I'm not sure I understood what your question is, Ali.
Well,
I think I just lost your audio.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So my question is basically how you handle these mixed ability groups, and how can you guarantee that you adapt your work with Audacity to different levels and to the high number of students. I mean, there's a lot of potential in Audacity, but I mean, how can you, I mean, what are the, how can we make it more cost effective?
Well, you know, while you were mentioning this problem of training, it occurred to me that the teacher could probably mix down the student file with the teacher's comments, as long as the comments are inserted in the silences, that could be mixed down into one track and exported as an MP3, which could be then sent to the student, say by email, or uploaded to YouTube or something, where the student would merely have to click a link to hear. So, you know, I'm going to try to do that, because I do think that would be a vast improvement over forcing the students to learn how to upload two files into Audacity and in the proper way and so on. it undoubtedly is too technical for most students. So thank you. And I will let Vance know my progress on that, and see if I can create an MP3 file that you guys can listen to. I'll do that later today.
Can I just one more question?
Sure.
Yeah, if I mean, just you have Hookaroo, you have VoiceThread, and where does Audacity work on Audacity fitting between the other audio software?
Yeah, I don't use VoiceThread much anymore, so I can't answer that question. And I guess Maisie doesn't use Audacity; she uses VoiceThread, so I can't give you an answer. Unless Vance has some ideas on that. But I don't think VoiceThread is an audio tool in the same way that Audacity is, but in the sense of creating new complex mixed files and so on. Macy says only for projects.
Sorry, I switched my mic off physically.
What do you mean by projects, Macy?
And you can take a microphone, Macy, if you want. I was just going to say, you asked me for my input, and I was just going to say that you know, these VoiceThread and Audacity have completely different affordances. Audacity is really a sound. It's kind of like having your own tape recorder and splice machine, and you can do all. It's like a digital word processor for sound. It's a sound processor. So of course you can't do that with VoiceThread. You can only record and comment, but you can't get at the original sound unless you play it. And then record it in Audacity. Then you could get extract the sound that way. WebEds are talking right now about getting sound out of Adobe Connect and out of Illuminate. Dennis Newsom wants to get the soundtracks from those. There's software that will do it for both products, but it's really difficult to come by. And so sometimes the best way is just to play the file and just play Audacity at the same time, make some adjustments in your sound card audio and in your sound mixer, and then get a nice recording level and just let it play for an hour and come back when it stops and save the file as an Audacity file. And that's how I do a lot of my podcasting. So, and another thing I might just add, as long as I've got the mic and I'm using it, you could have students who crack some of these issues, create ebooks with screenshots for other students in the class to try to train them peer-to-peer, and of course leave an archive which would be useful for your next year's students.
That sounds good.
I would be interested in looking at the interactivity aspect of all these tools. I mean, which one would you recommend that allows more interactivity between peers and between students and teacher?
On a practical level, probably VoiceThread, I think, because you can listen to what somebody says and then easily make a comment, which the first student could listen to. That would be my guess.
So you wouldn't use Audacity? I mean, Audacity doesn't have any options for that.
it's not really designed for that. It's not designed for recorded conversations between people.
Yeah, it's like a word processor, where a word processor itself won't engender interactivity. You can take some interactivity and paste it in your word processor and do other things with it, but it's basically just a sound recorder. I'm trying to find the name of this other software that we use sometimes in webheads. I'll find it in a second. Oh well, I'll come on it in a moment, but there's something else that we're using to record sound that makes some neat little sound, sort of threaded sound discussions. I'll find it, give me a second.
You know what's really great, if you can do it live, Ali, is a Google Hangouts. You can have, gosh, I don't know how many people, but quite a few. With audio and video, and they have an experimental version where you can also upload documents that everybody can be looking at. It's free, it's easy to work, and it's great.
Okay, Maisie just answered a couple of questions in the text chat. The voice software I was looking for was VoxoPop. VoxoPop, somebody makes a recording, and someone else answers the recording. You get a lot of faces, according to the profiles that people have put in, and you can, once you play your VoxoPop, you can hear it recording by recording, kind of like you can with VoiceThread, or you could, one follows another, so it's linear. I'm not sure if you can jump to different parts of it, but anyway, eventually you get a really nice little sound record. And 10 people, as she said, can appear in a Google Hangout, which we've been using quite a bit, especially with Jeff LeBeau. And Voki. Yeah, Voki is another thing that is not really interactive, but you can... you can create your own avatar, and then you can give it sound. So when people go to the Voki will speak to them. And that's kind of a neat thing to do with sound as well.
Yeah.
And she says you can do a storyboard, add an Audacity file to the storyboard. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Ali.
Speaking of avatars, I know that David has been experimenting for a while with Second Life. And he has been holding sessions with for study.com students. And did you manage to integrate the software like Audacity or similar things in your Second Life work?
No, I didn't. I don't really think it's required. You can record Second Life sessions along with the audio using a tool called, I forget the name of the tool, maybe Vance remembers, but you don't really need Audacity to record sessions.
Well, if you use Jing, I think you only get 6 minutes or something like that. So it would have to be, Camtasia, of course, the makers of Jing, will record your screen. Maybe Cam Studio, would that be another one? Or UTIPU will also do screencast recordings for free. Is it one of those?
No, it's not. I'm looking for the name now.
Does that ring a bell, David?
No, that's not it. Do you hear me? That's not it. I'm looking for it right now. It's not free though. It's about $30. I'm gonna gotta find it.
Okay. And Maisie is recommending storybird.com for creating stories. And then, I suppose, for that matter, you could create cartoons. There are a lot of cartoon creation sites that you could then articulate. And, well, for that matter and for that matter, you can create a slide. Your students could create a slide presentation. Fraps. Okay, Fraps. I've never heard of Fraps. All right. Well, we'll have to look into that. Maybe buy it for $30. But as I was saying, SlideShare.net will accept voice audio, and it would accept a sound file, like in Audacity. So you can create a slide presentation. You can make a recording in Audacity, which will present that presentation. You can upload the slideshow, the PowerPoint to SlideShare.net, and then you can insert the voiceover, and then I think you have to tweak the voiceover so it comes with the right slide. But basically, it's done with this PowerPoint slide and an Audacity or an MP3 file, which you make with Audacity. Okay, so Fraps, Dave says, is the standard for recording visual worlds like Second Life or World of Warcraft. All right, yeah, that's good to know. I'm learning quite a lot, and this is a learning together session, February 19th, and we've had Dave with us for about an hour, and some of the other people here have been together for 2 or 3 hours. So we must be learning, or we wouldn't be here. So I am getting kind of toward the time in my evening where I'm going to have to take off and have something to eat and visit with my family. So when Dave, you can talk anytime. There's 2 mics or 3 mics open. Anybody can say anything.
Yeah, I need to get going too, but thank you for your patience.
Lizzie's asking about a cartoon site. All right, I'll see if I can find a link. Mm-hmm.
Okay, while you're looking for the link, just want to say thank you. I appreciate your patience. Sorry I showed up late. And I will follow up on this today and try to create an easier method for the students who might be using this system. So thank you, everybody, and hope to see you soon. Thank you, Ali. Bye, everybody.
Okay, well, Dave has left us. He's like Superman, or who was, or no, the Lone Ranger. He's just pops in on us and enlightens us, and there he is. Let's see, well, I Googled, actually, there's a really good Scoop It on cartoons, and I Googled cartoons and Scoop It, and I don't see it here, but oh, here, I think maybe I found it. Let me just see. Scoop It, making avatars. Well, okay, there's an avatar maker, Scoop It. But I'm sure that we could find a Scoop It somewhere. There's a Scoop It that someone curates cartoon sites. That would be really nice. You have it. Post its link. Okay, so what I'd normally do in these situations where the moderator is left and we've kind of had a really great discussion, we were talking with Ali about getting to know him better, and Maisie, of course, is a pearl tree about cartoons. Maisie is still writing in the text chat. And so anyhow, but we've had a really nice session tonight with David Wynette, checking in early morning in California. The rest of us, I think the rest of us are up a little later. It's probably later for Ali in Montreal right now, and for Anita a little bit later at night. And for Maisie, she's at about my time, maybe a couple of hours earlier. So for me, it's dinner time. And I certainly appreciate everybody coming. And what we're going to do is we're going to leave the recording on until everything goes silent for a minute or two. And I'll turn off the recording. And at that point, I'd like for people to leave the room. 10:30 a.m. in Montreal. Not so bad on a Sunday morning. And so then once we've I'll let the room, the recording, gets made magically. The room has to be empty before that happens. So I want to say goodnight to everybody. And it looks like David will send me some more links. And when what I always do with the learningtogether.pbworks.com is I put the current session into learningtogether.postress.com, so I archive everything there and I link it from learningtogether.pbworks. So you can always find the old links that we've had. But anyway, for the one that I put in Postress, that's where I'll put Dave's whatever links he sends me. So thanks a lot. Anybody want to say good night on the recording? Okay. Well, I'll turn off the recording then. Thank you very much. That's it for February 19th, 2012. Learning Together. And Stephen signing off from Abu Dhabi.